thank you that you have risen and that all things are under your feet, that you've conquered sin, you've conquered death. And Lord, I just speak peace over this service. Lord, I thank you for your word that says that you've made us a kingdom and priests to minister to you. And so, Lord, I pray you would anoint us to minister to you as priests today, that we would have eyes to see, that we would have ears to hear. And we love you and we bless you. We just invite you in and we invite you to come in Jesus' name. This service is a little bit different, a little more contemporary than what we normally do. And I want you all just to feel really free, all right? If you want to sit, if you want to stand, however you just want to, you know, express yourself in worship, you are free to do that. And so we're going to have fun this morning because Jesus is alive and he's defeated sin and he's defeated death. So we're going to declare that, we're going to sing that, and we're going to mean it because he's worthy of it. So, all right, I think we're good. All right, welcome on this Easter. He is alive, he's walked out of that tomb. The death could not hold him, the grave could not hold him. And we are here to celebrate that this morning. Lord, we bless you and we honor you. You're the King of glory and we invite you here. We invite you in. Spirit of God, breath of God, come and breathe on us, on your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. You are the worthy one and you are the holy one. We bless you and we thank you that the grave cannot hold you. And Lord, I pray that we would minister to you in worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's prepare our heart to worship with the prelude. resurrected, and we thank you for your name. Your very name means he saves. Your very name, Yahweh, means he is here. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you, and we honor you for the power that was exhibited when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And Paul writes, Lord, that we have that same power living in us. And we honor you, and we bless you, and we exalt you. You're the Holy One, and you're the Worthy One. Father, we pray for all of those this morning that need healing in their body. Lord, we thank you that you forgive all of our sins and you heal all of our diseases. Lord, from arthritis to terminal cancer, Lord, you're the healer of all things. And so, Lord, we pray for Dennis, Janet, and Danny Kirk's camping buddy who is just lost a lot of weight, and, Lord, it doesn't look good for him. And so, Lord, we thank you. We ask you to touch him. We command all pain, all cancer, all inflammation in that body to go now. In Jesus' name, we speak life over Dennis. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Kingsley, John Burke's brother, still having complications from COVID. We say all inflammation to leave that body now. In Jesus' name. Lingering scar tissue in those lungs, you go now. In Jesus' name. We speak life over Kingsley. Healing, Lord, to come. In Jesus' name. We pray for Dixie Travelstead's niece, Kelly. Father, we speak peace. We speak mercy. We speak deliverance over Kelly. We love you and we honor you. We thank you that you're the faithful one. Lord, not only did you, on the cross, did you bear all of our sins and bear all of our diseases, but Lord, your word says that you bore all of our sorrows and all of our griefs. And so, Lord, those of us that are carrying sadness and this day, Lord, we rejoice.
yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you.
to Jesus at night. His name was Nicodemus. He was a leader of the Pharisees. And Jesus calls him the teacher. And he may have been the most prominent teacher at that time in Jerusalem. He came to Jesus at night. He was afraid to come during the day. He didn't want to be seen. But he comes to Jesus. And he tells Jesus, he said, Jesus, good teacher, we know you must come from God because no one can do what you do except they were from God. But he has some questions. And he doesn't tell Jesus straight up. And that's often with the rest of us, is that sometimes we have questions and we come to Jesus, but we're not being real with him. And Jesus knows the questions in Nicodemus's heart. And so he's complimented Jesus, and yet Jesus goes right to the truth of the matter. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. For a Pharisee and for a teacher of the law who believed that you're right with God because of what you do, those words are completely foreign to Jesus. Nicodemus, unless you were born again, no one can see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is like, what? This makes no sense. This man who was trained in knowledge, trained in the law, he's hearing about the Spirit. He's hearing about being born again. And none of it makes sense. He's trying to put Jesus in boxes, and his categories are very tight. And Nicodemus does not understand. And Jesus says to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we've seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I've told you these earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he's referring to Numbers chapter 21. People were dying because of their rebellion. And God tells Moses what to do. And he raises up a serpent. And everybody who looks at that is healed. And Jesus is referencing that. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And if you know one verse of Scripture, you know the next one. It was to Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel. He says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name, in the name. Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And that's all we see of Nicodemus for some time. Nicodemus represents the good boys. The good boys that, and in that I mean good girls too, that would be me. I was a good girl. I was raised in church. I didn't have a wild life. but believed that since I was a good girl, I would be saved. Nicodemus believed that. He was a good boy. Good boy. We just do everything right. We go to church, and yet Jesus comes speaking a message of being born again and being born of the Spirit, and it didn't fit his categories. He didn't figure it out, and yet he was a good boy. He was a teacher of the law, and Jesus comes to him, and he says, you need to be born again. A good boy. And then we have the bad girls. Liz Curtis Higgs wrote a book several years ago now on the bad girls of the Bible. And I was going to preach on Mary Magdalene this morning. I'm going to save that, I think, until next week. But Mary Magdalene, she first appears in Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there. Luke chapter 8. The good boys, and then we have the bad girls. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom. Luke chapter 8. And the 12 were with him. We would assume that, the 12. And yet, something fascinating happens here. The 12 were with him, Luke 8, verse 2, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. You have the 12, and you have the women, of whom Mary Magdalene is listed first. And that is significant in the scriptures, when the name comes first. And she's first among these women. And they helped him, and they supplied for Jesus. Where did Jesus eat? Where did he sleep? These women provided the means for that. They provided for Jesus. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. We're going to hear more about Mary next week. There's a lot of misconceptions about Mary, a lot of things that have been misconstrued about her, but really the only thing we know about her background, is right there. She's from Magdala. She's from a city, very prosperous city, and seven demons. Jesus had seven demons come out of her. If Nicodemus was a good boy, Mary Magdalene was a bad girl. We don't know what she did to get those seven demons in her, but she's the only demoniac in Scripture that is named. The only one. And the only other story that we have of a person possessed more than by one demon was, I mentioned that guy last week, the wild man of Gazezareen, where he's running around naked, he's running around cutting himself, he's not in his right mind, he's completely out of his mind. And Jesus comes to him and heals that man, casts all of those demons that were in that man into pigs, and those pigs ran off the cliff. This woman had issues. Talk about a hot mess. That was probably Mary Magdalene. And yet, she was a demoniac. We have her name. We don't know the how. We don't know the when. But Jesus touched her, and Jesus healed her. And that is so beautiful of an illustration of so many of us. We may be a hot mess. A hot mess. And yet we come to Jesus, and he remembers it no more. As far as the east is from the west. And this woman cared for Jesus. She loved Jesus. She worshipped Jesus. She gave of her money. As the disciples left everything and followed Jesus, so did Mary Magdalene. She left everything, all of her finances. She offered it up to Jesus, and she followed after him. On the Last Supper, where Jesus washed their feet, Judas walked out, and Judas betrayed them, betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane. My God, why have you forsaken me? He says that later on the cross, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, it begins, just, oh God, He knew what he had to do. He knew what it was going to cost him. And there was a struggle with him, sweating drops of blood. The disciples kept falling asleep. Peter later denied Jesus 3 times. Talk about alone. And he's handed over to the chief priests. People are lying about him. He's handed over to Pilate. They whip him and they beat him. The disciples are all gone. And yet, he's still with him. The women are still with him. Pilate, he didn't want to crucify him. But he did it for political expediency. He did it because he was afraid of what people thought. He didn't have the courage to stand up to the crowd. So Pilate washes his hands as a symbol. And they led him away to be crucified. As they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid him on the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of the women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" 2 others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." They mocked him. There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." It was now the 6th hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all of his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. And Nicodemus, who we haven't heard from all of this time, after Jesus is taken off of the cross, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes. About 70 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there, buried their last time to pay respects to him, the one whom they loved, the one whom Mary Magdalene, Jesus had delivered her, had put her in her right mind, had saved her, so much hope, so much expectation. And they come to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away, and they don't understand what is going on. An angel appears to them and says, he's not here. He has been raised, just as he said. And yet Mary Magdalene lingers. She lingers. Where is he? She's looking for him. She loved him. Where did he go? None of this makes sense. Grief upon grief upon grief upon grief. Where is he? She sees somebody and she perceives that he's the gardener. And she says, tell me where he is. Tell me where he is. Not that she could have done anything about it, but where is he? Tell me where he is and I'll go. I'll bring him back. She didn't recognize Jesus because of her grief, because of her sorrow. And it's Jesus the whole time. And he says her name. He says, Mary, Mary, Mary. He speaks her name. And she recognized that name. Because at that name, those demons had left her. At that name, she was forgiven. At that name, she was made whole. At that name, she was healed. The one whom she loved, there he is. There he was. Death could not hold him. And he walked out of that grave and he met her alive. And he said, go, go and tell my disciples. Go and tell. It's so beautiful what Jesus did there, because a woman's statement would not have held up in court in that day. But Jesus trusted her and he loved her. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Jesus came for the good boys. He came for those of us that think we're okay, that think because we're good and we go to church that we're good enough. And Jesus says, no, that's not good enough. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You need to be saved and you need to be born again. And Jesus came for the bad girls and the bad boys, those of us that are messed up, those of us that have addictions, those of us that know we've sinned and carry shame and guilt. He came for the good boys and he came for the bad girls and everyone in between. And he walked out of that grave alive, and he's seated on the throne, and he is here today, and he is speaking your name. He's speaking your name. Francis, I love you. Eleanor, I love you. Dixie, I love you. I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. I love you. I want a relationship with you. He loves us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came because he loves us. And he walked out of that grave alive, which means we don't have to carry shame. We don't have to carry guilt. We don't have to carry the identity of whom we were. That woman whom Jesus cast 7 devils out of, she's now clothed in righteousness. She's holy and blameless and free from accusation. And that's all of us if we would but come to him. Because he rose from the dead, you all, we don't have to live in condemnation. We can be free. Because he rose again, we can be forgiven. Because he rose again, we are healed. And we, like Mary of Magdalene, go! Go and tell others. Go and say what I have done for you. The world needs to know that Jesus is alive. He came for the good boys, and he came for the bad girls. Because at the cross, all of us are equal. All of us. All of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But at the name, at that beautiful name, at the name of Jesus, we can be born again. We can be saved and we can be set free. And because he lives, that means he walks with us. We're not alone. And he's coming again in great glory. And he wants to take your hand and he wants to take you with him. If we would but yield and call on that name. Call on that name. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Father, we honor you. thank you, Jesus, that we can sing with the angels, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Lord, we thank you that when we're weak and when we need you, God, you're right there. Your very name, Jesus, means he saves. Your very name means that you are with us. You are worthy. You are good. And we honor you. And we love you. We thank you for being obedient, even obedience to death on the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that you've engraved us on the palm of your hand. We praise you, Jesus. No matter how good we think we are, it's not good enough. No matter how bad we think you are, nothing is too bad for you. It's the equal. It's equal. You love us. You love us. You love us. Even in heaven right now, you bear the scars of what you did for us. Our endless song will be, worthy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May our life be a song. May what we say be a blessing. And may we, like Mary Magdalene, go and tell others that you're alive. Let's stand and sing, "You Are My All in All." Worship Jesus. He's alive and he's worthy. actually have a few more minutes. It's not actually 10 o'clock yet. And so, and you're not going to hear that song any better than what you just heard. Can we sing it again from the top? Can we do that? You guys okay with that? And as they sing this song, as we worship, those of you that are carrying grief, those of you that have sadness in your heart, give it to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, take it, and imagine it being placed on the cross with Jesus. You don't have to carry that anymore. Those of you that have anxiety, that have fear, that have worry, Jesus bore that on the cross, and you don't have to carry that. So we're going to sing this again straight from the top. He is worthy because he defeated sin, and he defeated death, and he wants to be an intimate part of your life. He wants to come in. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to, where you're bearing a lot right now. You're carrying a lot. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Come to him. Come to him. Even those of us that know him, we need his comfort. We need his love. We need his life. He is here. He is here. Let's sing that and just invite him in to those places. Give him your pain.
Woo!
walked out of that tomb. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would know you, that we would know what Mary Magdalene knew, that we would know what the angels know right now around the throne, that you are alive, that you are seated, that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. And so, Lord, I just speak peace over your people. I pray the joy of the Lord would be their strength. I pray they would overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us up, Lord. And may we, like Mary Magdalene, go out of this place saying, Jesus is alive. Fill us up, God. Help us to see you rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed Easter.